It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, September 1st. I'm Patricia Naft. Several towns across the Western Slope are taking a good, hard look at Senate Bill 152. It's a state law from 2005 that prevents municipalities and local governments from becoming internet providers. Towns can bypass this, however, if they put the issue on the ballot and the voters okay it. The town of Paonia has decided to ask voters for the ability to get into telecommunications. Same with the town of Palisade. Orchard City is waiting until April. Grand Junction and Montrose have already had the issue on the ballot and the voters gave them the go-ahead, allowing the cities to avoid 152 and have the option to provide internet. This comes at a time when governments and electrical co-ops are looking at building high-speed fiber-optic internet infrastructure across the Western Slope. The city of Delta is considering OHV use on its roads. It would be joining a growing number of towns on the Western Slope, allowing four-wheelers and side-by-sides on its streets. This is Interim City Manager Glenn Black.
An operator must have a valid driver's license. Of course, the off-highway vehicle must be registered with the state of Colorado, and the operator must also have an insurance policy covering the vehicle.
The off-road vehicles would not be allowed on highways. The city is scheduled to hear the second reading of the ordinance tonight. The River Park in Paonia is getting some upgrades. Jake Ryan sat down today with Julia Bowman, the River Park coordinator for the park's operator, the Conservation Center.
So, Julia, there's been a lot of construction down by the River Park. What's going on over there?
The River Park has been really busy this summer. We have had a bunch of construction projects in an effort to complete our first phase of our master trail plan, and the whole idea is to make the River Park as accessible to everyone as possible. The biggest project is the installation of an ADA-compliant ramp next to the boat ramp. And it's a huge project that will hopefully make the River Park more accessible for everyone. And then, let's see, at the end of September, we are having the Western Colorado Conservation Corps come and improve the trail from where the handicap ramp will end to the Minnesota Creek Bridge and that nice beach area that everybody likes to go to. So they're going to make the trail wider and smoother, so that way people in wheelchairs or families with strollers can more easily get to the water.
So the park is open. It's been open for a while, but it's not finished.
A couple years ago, the Conservation Center and then the River Park Committee developed a master trails plan that really shapes all of our directions and what we need to do to make the River Park the best place it can be for the North Fork Valley community. And so it's divided into two phases. Basically, the first phase is all of the projects we've completed and plan to complete up to the Minnesota Creek Bridge. And then phase two represents all the projects past the bridge. And those really haven't even been started yet. We are working and getting ready to start them. Things are in the wings, but they're coming.
So what's in the chute? What's planned for the River Park?
One thing that we know that this community really wants is more trails. And so we are about this fall, we're going to apply for a grant to expand the trail system beyond the Minnesota Creek Bridge.
The park, the River Park, seems very different than a state park or the town park. Why is it so different?
Some people might not know that the Paonia River Park was once an in-stream gravel mine, and so the Conservation Center has taken what used to be a braided stream channel and made it into a really healthy river ecosystem. And that alone sets it apart from the city parks and state parks that we know and love. It's not a manicured lawn, but it's also not a wild area, and the best part about it is that it's right in our own backyard.
That was Julia Bowman, the River Park coordinator with the Conservation Center, speaking with KVNF's Jake Ryan. Members of the oil and gas industry were recently in Denver for the annual Rocky Mountain Energy Summit. One discussion centered on how to improve relations between energy companies and the public. It's an ongoing issue that state regulators will tackle this fall in a new rulemaking hearing. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Oil and gas drilling on Colorado's populous Front Range has forced more interactions between communities and the energy industry, and that's caused tension. Matt Lepore heads the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, which regulates oil and gas companies. He says many of the problems stem from a lack of communication.
Folks really don't like surprises as they relate to oil and gas. I will concede that sometimes I'm surprised by what surprises people, that if you buy a home in rural Weld County, even if you're in a municipality, that you're stunned and amazed when the oil rig shows up. But it happens all the time.
One way the proposed rule change could help would be by including future oil and gas drilling sites in city and county planning and development processes. Right now, that doesn't always happen.
It does seem that they're often eager to approve that new subdivision without maybe fully vetting or considering how the mineral owner will be able to access those minerals.
Another suggested rule change would require mediation and more collaboration for large drill sites located near buildings and homes. But even the definition of a large drill site is hard to pin down.
I don't know what it is. I've said all along I don't know what it is. I've heard everything from one well to, I think, 22 or something like that.
And mandating good communication is no easy task.
We're being asked to regulate sort of being a good neighbor.
But that's necessary, according to Democratic Speaker of the House, Dickie Lee Hollinghorst.
Well, I think there are certain industry members that have gotten better at communicating. There are still some pretty bad actors out there, and unfortunately, we have to write legislation and regulations to those people who aren't being the best actors.
Hollinghorst lives in Boulder and has pushed for cities and towns to have the ultimate decision-making power on whether or not to allow drilling. Right now, that final decision rests with the state. She says getting everyone to talk to each other has just been one part of the problem.
I think it's a whole lot more than that. We have had huge issues in Colorado with the interface between a very heavy industrial activity and residents.
Hollinghorst says it's too early to say what may happen when lawmakers return to the state capitol in January. She notes that the debate over drilling has quieted down because people are waiting to see the new rules from the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. The meetings will be open to the public and will take place in mid-November and early December. Hollinghorst also thinks the oil price slump has had a calming effect.
The fracking activity is actually reduced, primarily because of the price of gas and the huge boom in the Pennsylvania area where transportation has been easier.
After a series of preliminary meetings with local officials across the state, the COGCC rules should become final before the end of the year after the public weighs in. There are hopes the rules will smooth some of the conflict between residents, towns, and energy companies. If not, there are groups interested in putting an anti-fracking measure to a statewide vote in 2016. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Nath.